In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's call week. Two-thirds of the student body will receive their assignments in 2 days. They will learn of the places that they are sent for their vicarage or their first call. We will see assignments to rural and urban congregations, to small congregations and to megachurches, to young mission starts and to older, mature congregations. Some will be sent to congregations that meet in Gothic-style cathedrals, and others to congregations that meet in renovated car dealerships, shopping centers, and warehouses. Some will be sent to thriving congregations, some to congregations that are just hanging on. But if we stop with our assessment there, we will see the church only in the way that the church appears to exist within the world. In our text today, Peter bids us to develop a more penetrating vision and to see the church as God sees it, to see it as it really is. In the opening words of our text, Peter provides an implied contrast with the people of God under the old covenant. They had a house of God, but we are now the house of God. They had a temple that was built of lifeless stones. We are the living stones of a new temple. They approached God through a priesthood. We ourselves are the priesthood. Peter does not define the church in terms of geographical territories or in terms of buildings constructed of brick and stone. Instead, here he speaks of the church that is hidden within those structures, within those buildings, within those organizations, as a gathering of people united to Christ. He refers to it as a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Now, Peter is writing to a predominantly Gentile audience in order to encourage them in the face of the difficulties and the challenges of being the church within the world. Why? Because according to Peter, as a community of believers, we are foreigners, outsiders, and aliens in our own country. Or as one of today's most prominent theologians, Stanley Hauerwasser, suggested, we live as resident aliens. We became aliens in our own time and land the moment we were joined to Jesus. Here Peter picks up a theme similar to that of John. Jesus came to his own people, but his own did not recognize him or receive him. Indeed, they found him coming up short and rejected him. Yet by his crucifixion and resurrection for you and me, he was approved by God and became the cornerstone of a new building, a new community. By being joined to him, we too are rejected by those who rejected him. And so Peter suggests that his readers, you and I, have become like Abraham, who sojourned in Canaan as an outsider in a land that was strange to him. In fact, this theme permeates the letter of Peter. As we have traditionally said, we live in the world, but no longer of the world. Here, however, we must be careful as to what it means and what it does not mean for the church to be a community of foreigners or resident aliens. To begin with, it does not mean that we are caught out of this world of creation, this world that God has made. This world is still God's world by virtue of Christ's death and resurrection. Christ has reclaimed it for himself. No, the key to recognizing why the church is a community of foreigners lies in the adjectives that Peter uses to describe it. He does not describe it as an otherworldly, transcendent, or non-corporeal community. Instead, words like elect, holy, royal provide the contrast that Peter wants to evoke. Elect contrasts those whom God has chosen from those who have not heeded his call. Holy contrasts those who have been set apart and washed clean by Christ from those who remain in their sin. Royal contrasts those who belong to a most sacred aristocracy, heirs with Christ, with those who are not. A possession contrasts those who belong to God with those who do not. That the church is a community of aliens or outsiders means that the people of God live temporarily among a people to whom they do not belong. They are for the time being strangers, not natives. Now, the notion of Christians as aliens may seem a bit odd to us today. After all, a comparison of Peter's context and our own will show that they're not exactly the same. Peter addresses churches living barely 30 years removed from Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. a people living within a largely pagan culture. Peter writes in the early 60s, shortly before Nero blames the burning of Rome upon the Christians, shortly before the outbreak of extensive and systematic persecutions. Suspicions ran high among the Romans about Christians as potential subversives and problems for the empire. Indeed, in every age, foreigners have often been held in contempt by natives among whom they dwell. This is true even in America. Immigrants, whether legal or illegal, are often seen as threats to take our jobs, lower the value of our homes, increase our taxes in order to pay for the social burdens of providing health care and welfare to larger numbers. They may at times even be placed under severe restrictions, as such as Japanese citizens were during World War II. That was Peter's day. We live 2,000 years later, a time during which the Christian church has exerted a tremendous influence upon Western society. Most of us have grown up with a Christianity having a certain respectability within society. Jesus, in some form or another, has always been held in high regard among Americans. So it may seem hard in this context to see how we live as resident aliens. Despite these differences, though, there is a sense where the church has always lived out of step. Moreover, things may be changing for you and me today. A rapid shift is taking place in which we are becoming a land of many religions and many cultures. If there was a time when North American Christians had often been quiet and uncritical of society, a time when the Christian message itself was muted within the culture, presumably it was because we assumed we lived within a Christian nation. But the time may be here that Christians look increasingly like outsiders rather than insiders, a time when the Christian message is less well known and even less understood. Indeed, Wolfhard Pannenberg, the great German theologian, once noted and warned that the greater the ignorance of Christianity, the greater the prejudice against Christianity will become. Now, although we live as aliens or foreigners, we are not called away from our cities, our states, and our countries. We are not called upon to leave our families and friends in order to establish communities of hermits that have no contact with anyone within the world. No, though we are aliens, we are resident aliens. The church is a redeemed community that resides within the larger human community wherever it finds itself. And yet, as residents, the church is a community of outsiders, does not seek to blend in with the native citizenry. We've been there, done that. Instead, the church exists as what many today would call missionary outposts. This new human community called the church may be found in little groups here and there, like small oases in the desert or islands in the sea. At times, we may be small, scattered minorities surrounded by large non-Christian majorities. In any event, the church, as a community of resident aliens, lives to give witness in word and deed to God's design in creation and the restoration of God's design for human life through the redemption of Jesus Christ. It seeks to add new living stones to the building by joining them to Christ. As we go about that task, we often work alongside our non-Christian neighbors, taking care of families, paying taxes, carrying out our duties as citizens and residents. At other times, we will stick out, however, as outsiders, as living reminders of society's rejection of the Creator and of the Creator's design for human life. In these times of challenge and difficulty, Peter encourages us with the reminder. Once we were not God's people, but now we are. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. As living stones joined by the Spirit and the gospel to the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, his fate is our fate, his life is our life, and his future is our future. And so, as a community of resident aliens who live in the presence of God as the agent of his word, we live to deliver life and salvation through the preaching of that word, through the absolution, through the sacraments, and through the conversations we carry on with those among whom we live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.